Let's open our Bibles this morning. First of all, to Colossians chapter 2, and I'd like to have you hold your finger in Ephesians chapter 4 just for a minute. But Colossians 2, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, go down to verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we thank you this morning for your love and goodness to us, and I hope for anyone here who is not clear this morning on salvation and where that rests, you might help them to convince them, Father, through the benefits that we Christians have, that they need to be saved. I pray that they'll understand how much Christ paid for them. But Father, for the rest of us, there are some practical things here this morning, and we're able to rejoice from what you've delivered us. And Lord, we thank you so much that hell is not a threat to any of us here that are saved, and we're glad the wrath of God does not abide upon us. And Father, I just have some things to say along these lines this morning. I pray you might help us to tie this together well. May we say everything that you would have us say and say nothing that would be untoward. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, I'm not a crusader for or against anything but the truth of God. I guess what I'm saying is I don't specialize. And so I don't specialize in being against specifically individual things and protesting those things and all that. I'm against evolution. I'm against environmentalism, but don't take any special time to take special notice of those things and be a crusader. I don't protest those things. I don't specialize in abortion or Catholicism or anything, really. I try to preach and teach the truth. And so coming to this today, we still have to deal with something, because once in a while the world, say, for instance, has a holiday. And while I don't specialize against Halloween, there are just some things I doubt very seriously the average American has the slightest clue of what actually is held within the bounds of Halloween. I doubt very seriously that anybody understands, very few people anyway understand, that you put a jack-o'-lantern out, and back in the Middle Ages, that jack-o'-lantern would have been filled with human fat burning, indicating that somebody from that household had died that night and should be left alone. That household should be left alone because somebody there had already died as a sacrifice on Hallowed Evening, the devil's night out. And so, down in chapter 2, verse 8, it says there that beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Colossians 2 trumpets a blast against corruption by tradition. The way the world does things, the things the world celebrates. For most folks, it's enough that our parents, have always celebrated certain things and done certain things certain ways. It's enough that there's a date written on a calendar somewhere already pre-printed that a certain day means a certain thing. It's enough that the schools, promoted in their, in the schools and so on. So we just unthinkingly go along like cattle. So you need to really think about that, folks. Let's just spend some more money. Let's spook up the house. Let's make sure and put compromise our children just because that's the way we've always done things. And so I just want to make plain, I'm not a specialist on Halloween or sodomy or evolution or any one thing, but I am supposed to stand for the truth and for what's right and for what's good. Let me have you turn back to Ephesians chapter 4, where I ask you to hold a finger there. Let's just cover a couple of verses which make things very plain. Are you saved? Well, that was encouraging. If you're saved, then I'm glad. But in verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But it says some things there. It's very hard to more accurately describe the situation in the world than that. I mean, the average American, again, has no clue and is not interested in hearing, much less interested in researching some of the things that go into such a simple holiday as Halloween. What's the deal with these witches? What's the deal with dressing up our children as witches and Satan and skeletons and a little bit of everything else? Sure, there's a silly side to it, but what about the rest of it? What about the rest? I bet that as many folks as vote in America celebrate Halloween. Like I said, it's been a long time since I was in a public school, but I'm relatively sure that the public schools are decorated for the holiday. They're not decorated anymore for Christian holidays, but they'll be decorated for that. I bet there's many a Christian school, I don't say all, that is decorated for the holiday. Now, here's the deal, folks. The average parent has no discernible alarm. By that, I don't mean you, but the average parent in America, average lost person, just religious person going along with the flow, going along with the herd, probably has not the slightest idea of what it costs in the end for this preoccupation with death and horror and witchcraft and Satan and so on and so forth. I'll say this, sermon is not actually an anti-Halloween diatribe. I've said all that to say that. Actually, I hope that you understand that what goes on Tuesday night isn't so much a whimsical, you know, masquerade as it is a precursor of things to come for lost folks. That is the life, spiritually, a lot of folks lead, if you were able to actually put it on stage. This sermon really is about having been delivered from those elements that are supposed to be horrific and deadly and sinister and awful and foggy and dark and all those things. It's about God having mercy on somebody like me and allowing that to be in no way my reality. So let me just talk to you for a little while about that. The title, well, let me explain the title. Somewhere in my background, I'm not sure where I picked it up. Of course, I grew up and I would watch the goofy, you know, old horror movies on Saturday. And some of them silent and some of them not, the black and white ones, you know, where you now look at them and say, oh, that was funny. And it was scary then, you know. I just know that on Halloween, in the third and fourth grade, if you were a boy, you either brought your mom's dish towel or a bath towel or something to school with you, and you ran around all day going, well, good evening, you know, to the girls, and, you know, good evening. And you're having plastic teeth and stuff, and the girls would all go, you know, screaming down the hall and stuff, and so that was really cool. Good evening. And then when you grew up a little further and you were 13 or 14 or 15, you got to laugh and go, like that. I like to call this sermon this morning, Good Evening Indeed. Because there's an entirely different face on this thing for me now as a saved person. I hope it is for you. I think this is not something you should play with. I make it not my business to be concerned about, and I mean not to be concerned about how you deal with Christmas candy or Christmas candy and Halloween candy. Believe me, we'll buy Halloween candy after it's over. Don't worry about that sort of stuff. But no, this goes deeper. Let me say first of all It's inarguable that one of the themes of Halloween is death. I mean, death, the old dark arch enemy. There's no historic analysis needed. That's what Halloween's about. Gravestones. There's a house. I'm not sure if it's decorated this year. There used to be a house down on Ilex just across the freeway over by where Dave and Judy used to live. And they used to decorate their yard every year, their house. It was all a graveyard. And they just went to all kinds of expense to make their house look dark and haunted. And the entire yard was a graveyard. There's cobwebs. There's everything in the world going on. That's Halloween. The theme is death, ghosts, haunted houses, and zombies. You do understand there's a thing in the Bible called a necromancy, right? Necromancy is a preoccupation with dead things. And so there's necrophilia, where folks love the dead things. So tell me, in our society, what's the preoccupation with zombies? I don't understand. There are now zombie romances. Not that I've read them, not that I've seen them, but there are. What in the world is that? Well, I just want to say that death is a preoccupation in Halloween. The fact is, it's not all that funny. You know, at St. Patty's Day and New Year's Day, folks go out and get snot-slinging drunk. And that's what you're supposed to do. Come to Halloween and, you know, the average parent, I don't know, figure a parent has three kids, she or he or both are somewhere close to maybe 40 years old. And so by the time you're 40, you're likely to have had somebody near you at some time in the past die, a mother, a father, an aunt, an uncle, a grandmother, a grandfather, and so on. By the time you're 40, most of you have sat at a bedside somewhere sometime and watched somebody pass. And if you weren't actually there when they did so, you knew all about it. And the fact of the matter is, at Halloween, folks that are unsaved are already dead in their trespasses and sins. And this kind of plays into the idea of it being kind of a little dance with your nemesis. I mean, you are dead in sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. You've never been born again. And so one time a year, you go out and you paint your house and blacken out the windows and put up cobwebs and blue lights and put some skeletons and scarecrows and stuff in your yard and pretend that, it's almost like a pre-party. Death. I just want to say, I am so glad that death is no longer my nemesis. I am so glad that death hath no more dominion over my Lord Jesus Christ. And because I am in Christ, death hath no more dominion over me. I may die physically in this body, and I'm not looking forward to the process. I'm curious about how that's going to go and all those things. But I have no worries about my soul. And I have no worries about my spirit. Death hath no more dominion over me. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that mortality in that day shall be swallowed up of life. The Bible says to be absent from the body for a Christian is to be present with the Lord. I am so glad that I no longer run and tremble in fear of death. The fact is, when the grim reaper pulls up to my house, I'm able to take the cape off of his head, and there's the smiling face of Jesus Christ. There's an old guy, an old saint of the past that died, and on his deathbed, his confession was, "How have I dreaded as an enemy this smiling friend?" And so, ladies and gentlemen, I don't look forward to the process or anything like that, but I don't live life like the average religious citizen in America with death hovering over my neck. If I die this afternoon, I'll be in heaven before you. And I'm so glad it's not my nemesis anymore. That's a theme in Halloween. Death. Good evening. Good evening indeed. Take me today. I'm ready to go, right? Amen? I'd like to consider something else. horror. Horror is a theme in Halloween, is it not? Doesn't take a brain surgeon. Houses of horror, spooks, blood. When you have a horror movie, it's not a field of daisies and ponies running around. It's something horrible. It's something dark. It's something deadly, those sort of things. It's horror. I remember we used to have a haunted house at our elementary school when I was in school. And so you'd go through, and they'd darken everything up, of course. Go through the dark rooms, and there they have peeled grapes, which are supposed to be eyeballs, and spaghetti, which is supposed to be guts, and all that kind of stuff. Everybody goes, ew, ew, ew. And all the girls wouldn't go in and stuff, and all the guys had a great time, go, good evening. And the girls would run around and stuff. Horror, right? Well, I just want to say that's very close to the truth in the daily lives of most. Think about somebody fatherless and motherless. Think about somebody whose lives have been spent in addictions of various sorts or other. Think about all the secrets. Think about all the closets. Think about all the failures. Think about the failed marriages, the wayward children, those sort of, all with no hope. Think about the irreparable past of deeds and darkness, the things that you never, ever want to come to light. And those things still hover in the dark hours of the night when you wake up. Those things still hover there, and you wonder if it'll ever come to light what you did or what you are. It's horrible. Think about pasts where something like rape or prostitution or molestation or sodomy might have been a part at one point or other, and you sure you hope to God that never comes out. And you think back to those hours, you think back to that abortion, and it's something that still is a specter to you. It's something that still horrifies you as you think of what you've done. Think of the disease without hope. Think about having gotten something, having been diagnosed with something, having caught something, or just succumbed to something, and there's no hope in it. You're just going to die, and you don't know what's on the other side, and it's horrifying. Death without prospect of anything good. A meaningless existence, just living day to day, paying bills, washing your face, taking a shower, trying to break even, going to the bathroom, feeding your face, and tomorrow's the same thing. And you have no goal and you have no vision other than just to live. What a horrifying life. I just want to say to you, I'm glad not to be horrified. I've been delivered from that horror. I don't look forward to getting cancer or something like that, and it will not make me happy, but I am not horrified about what life or death presents. You know what the Bible says? It says, for instance, in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. He said, it was a horrible pit, but there are no horrors anymore. I am not horrified. I am not horrified by dying. I'm not horrified by my life. I'm not horrified by my past. I wouldn't be happy to show you all of it, but I'm confident that it is marked off the record by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. What Halloween represents is more a reality for the lost world than it is anything else. It is a precursor to something that perhaps will one day be experienced. And it's just not that way for a Bible-believing Christian. It's not that way for somebody that's put their faith and trust in the one that shed his blood for them and forgave their sins, redeemed those sins, gave them a new birth. I am not horrified. I am not horrified by my prospects. I am not afraid. I am not terrified by what man can do unto me. I am not terrified by what men say about me. I have a Savior. I have a relationship with the Son of God. I am not terrified. And so when somebody on Halloween throws their cloak from around their face and says, good evening. I say, good evening indeed. It's a good day. I might go to heaven today. I'm not horrified. I want to say further, it's one of the themes of Halloween is darkness. Where would Halloween be without darkness? I never really recall being scared at Halloween. I remember being scared of the dark. I was scared of what would hide under my bed in the dark. But I never remember being scared of Halloween. I don't know what it is with that experience with kids. An awful lot of kids are scared of the dark. I think it probably relates to the fact that one time, at one point, God made man in his image. God is light, and him is no darkness. And man fell from that light and fell into spiritual darkness, and that's where man is. He's in the darkness now. And so a little kid is naturally scared of the dark, because I believe that innately he knows that he's fallen. For one night a year, Americans officially memorialize the darkness. For one night a year, they officially embrace it. They display it. They acknowledge it. They celebrate it. They bring their kids into its embrace and allow those kids to be subject to certain things that are spiritual, certain things that are sinister, certain things that are horrible and dark and nasty. They allow their kids to be scared to death. And I think it's a shame. That is not my lot in life. The irony is that men love darkness rather than light. The reason they love darkness is because the darkness covers their deeds. Now, I don't know where you're at, but I'm glad to have come out of darkness. The Bible said He's delivered me from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. But I've been delivered from the power of darkness. I'm no longer in darkness. 1 Peter 2 says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God is light, in Him is no darkness at all. You've been called to walk in the light with Him. Why would you embrace darkness? Why would you embrace it? Why would you hallow it? Christ is light. The Word of God is light. I walk in light today. I'm able to sit down with the light on my desk and in my lap at any time that I choose. I have a relationship with the light, capital L light, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of this world. I am not horrified. I'm not scared of death. I am not in darkness. Good evening indeed. Boy, folks, what a blessing it is to not be running around worried about those things with them on your shoulder, a specter behind you all the time, the grim reaper there in shade with his reaping staff and all those things. What a wonderful thing to not be subject to it. I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be a child of the light. Death, horror, darkness, Satan. Satan's been given the power of death. Kids running around in little devil outfits. Blood sacrifices, witchcraft, spirits, ghosts, the realm of the dead, gravestones. Sometimes even hell itself is depicted. Satanic. And I would have you know, Satan is a very real and insidious creature. He's just as real as God is. Not as powerful, not omniscient, not omnipresent, but nonetheless, the small g god of this world. And he does run quite a lot. He's been given quite a long leash, and he's real. Now, don't think he's running around in a red suit with a little pointy tail, because that's not the case. If anything, he would look like a serpent, and personally, I think that he would show up as a well-dressed, cultured man. And he would impress you with his intelligence, with his gregariousness, with his wisdom, with his sense of humor. but he'd be happy to laugh at you as you're dropped off into hell. I just want to say, that's one of the themes of Halloween, is Satan. Spiritism. He has a malevolent intent that anybody and everybody he can influence should go to hell, where he can rejoice over them. They could have been children of God and not in hell at all, but he stole them. He took them, undermined God and God's plan, takes somebody to hell and rejoices in their torments forever and ever. The Bible says that he'll be comforted by his multitudes. That's the devil. That's Satan. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is not my lot in life. You say, how did you get out of it? I was once a child of the devil. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do, says John chapter 8, verse 44. Those words came from Jesus Christ's mouth. He said, you're of your father, the devil. You must be born again. We're all born into this life, fallen children of God, fallen in Adam, and children of the devil. Now, here's the deal. I defected. I changed families. I mutinied. I left the devil's family. He had me when I got into this life, but I heard about a better family, one where Jesus Christ had loved me and I wasn't going to go to hell. And so I defected. I defected to his worst enemy. I disowned him. I jumped ship. I escaped his clutches. I chose God and Jesus Christ over the devil and this world and eventually hell. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to live either. Did you know you're not ready to live until you're ready to die? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how old you are. If you've never been saved and you've gone through this life healthy, you have children and grandchildren, you're still not even ready to live. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Because at any moment, that heart can stop. I mean, Brother Gip was just here. I thought he was going to die when I heard it because he'd been saying he had heart problems, heart pains. So I thought, you know, this guy could be gone. Well, how many folks do you know, how many folks do I know that have indeed dropped dead? There's no guarantee for tomorrow. If you step out of this life today unsaved, you go off into eternity. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Good evening indeed. Well, Halloween majors in the king of the pit, Satan, his minions, spirits, ghosts, and so on. I am so glad to be out of his clutches. I acknowledge that he still tempts me. I acknowledge that he still has some sway in the sense that he's still here. I acknowledge that I must be vigilant and sober, but he hath no more power over me because Jesus Christ removed the power. He no longer has the power of death over me. I am not afraid of death. Jesus Christ settled that for me. So, good evening indeed. It is so good to be saved. I'd like to say further, one of the themes of Halloween is power. The power of magic, the power of witchcraft, potions, black cats, bad luck, spells, curses, death. It's power. The average soccer mom isn't too concerned about it, probably, but the devil has the power of death, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, until you get in Christ. Furthermore, there is a power of darkness. There is a power of Satan. We wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this world, and then there's a power in sin. There's powers that the average person deals with that they don't even realize. I am so glad to be delivered from those powers. I am so glad that I've been delivered to another power. Let me read you some verses, shall I? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, by faith unto salvation. I am not kept by the power of the flesh or the power of the devil. I am kept saved by the power of God. It says in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I believed in something so powerful, it delivered me from death. It delivered me from a lake of fire. It delivered me from my sins that I was guilty of. I can say this further in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In Ephesians 1, it says, and I wish to show you what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Colossians 1 says this, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, in 2 Peter chapter 1. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil's power is not a concern. The power of darkness, the power of sin. I've been delivered. Do you understand? Do you understand that salvation is not religion? It's not ritual. It's deliverance from something that you have no power to deliver yourself from. What you're left with is the power to decide. Do you want Jesus Christ? Do you want the solution? Or do you not? Would you just rather live it out and see what happens? The Bible tells you what will happen if you live that way. And it gives you promises. There's a way to get this thing fixed. Good evening, indeed. It's a good day when you get answers. My question is, are you searching for answers? Do you even want the answer? Are you willing to acknowledge the problem? You are going to die one day. You are at this hour under some bondage to sin, under some bondage to the world, under some bondage to the flesh, under some bondage to the devil. Something has you in its power. Wouldn't you rather be under the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'd like to say there's another thing. I'll wrap this up pretty quick, but just don't get in too big a hurry. You know, one of the themes of Halloween is ghosts. You know, departed spirits, agitated, unrestful souls, those things are probably real too. I just want to say that I deal with a ghost every day. I deal with a ghost every day. I'm not haunted. In fact, I'm inhabited. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit at the day of redemption. He is called the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He came into my body and sealed me into salvation and sealed me into Christ. And I live with a ghost every day. It's another entity. It's God's Spirit dwelling in me. And I just want to say, I would never do anything to trade him away. You couldn't give me a $10 billion. Bible says that his Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Good evening, indeed. I think back to those stupid hours spent as a little boy trying to scare the girls, tying a bath towel around my shoulders so I had a cloak, and walking around with fake vampire teeth on him, saying, trying to scare the girl, come up behind him and say, good evening. I think, what a silly little thing. Yeah, it was fun then. I can tell you now, good evening indeed. Because I'm telling you, folks, I've found deliverance. Got out of that stuff. I've never been haunted by a ghost in my life. You say, well, some people are. Well, maybe they are. But I've got another kind of ghost in me. I want to say that there's something else that folks deal with. It's called foreboding. It's a sense of something ominous coming, terrifying events to come. It's the idea of a morose premonition, something sinister is going to happen. A lot of folks live with that every day. That's the reality for every lost soul at Halloween. Foreboding. Death's coming. Sickness is coming. Someday you're going to die. You're going to go somewhere after you die. Where are you going to go? You're really going to trust a baptism. You're really going to trust having jumped through a sequence of religious rituals, some hoops. You're really going to trust that? Or do you have somebody to trust? Wouldn't you rather trust somebody than trust something? I mean, do you like meeting the doctor before he cuts on you? You know, I mean, do you like knowing somebody before you marry him? Well, I tell you what, if I'm going to trust my soul to something, it'd soon be somebody that went down to battle and won the battle and rose back up and offers me the salvation, rather than things that have never won any victory for anybody ever, ever. I tell you what I'm glad to be delivered from. I'm glad there is no sense of foreboding. There's none. There's none at all. Romans chapter 8, it says this. For the earnest expectation. See, I live in expectation. I live in hope. I don't live in foreboding. I'm not afraid. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. I have hope today. My hope is Jesus Christ. Our church is Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The blessed hope is him coming back to get us. I live in hope. I don't live in foreboding. You say, well, you're the pastor of the church, so you're supposed to be confident. Being the pastor of the church has nothing to do with it. There are folks here that are not the pastors, and they're not deacons. They're not anything other than saved sinners. And they have the same hope I have. There's no sense of foreboding. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. It's not a hope either that's, boy, I hope so. It's an expectation. It's the sure knowledge that Christ promised it. And that's where my hope is set, in Jesus Christ. Oh, Halloween, death, horror, darkness, Satan, a dark power, ghosts, foreboding. I'm free. Good evening indeed. I may not enjoy what happens to me on my deathbed, and there are undoubtedly going to be some things that I don't cherish that will happen in this life as far as trials and tribulations and troubles. But I am so happy to be delivered from the foreboding of the damned, to not be under the wrath and condemnation of God anymore. It's not by my works. It's not by anything that I've done. It's by something somebody else has done. That somebody else is Jesus Christ. He won the victory for you. Now I'm going to close, but I want to show, I just had this thought in closing. You know, it's funny how the Halloween theme has counterpoints. And what I mean by that is, for Halloween, it's the theme of death. For Christianity, it's life. For Halloween, it's the theme of horror. For Christianity, it's comfort and peace. For Halloween, darkness. For us, light. For it, Satan. For us, God. Right? For it, a dark, sinister power. For us, righteous, holy power. For them, ghosts and spirits and ghouls and goblins. For us, it's the Holy Ghost. And, you know, for them, foreboding. For us, hope and expectation. I was thinking about that. You know, for a Christian, I have a mansion waiting for me in heaven. What do they have? Haunted houses. Yeah. I'm the part of the bride of Christ. You know what they have? Witches. I have love. They have fear. I have a Bible. They have superstition, ritual. I have church. They have religion. That's a funny thing. I have Christ. What's the counterpoint in Halloween for Christ? There is none. They don't have anything that can match him. They don't have a counterpoint for Christ. I have something unique, a Savior that bled and died and lives to save me. They have nothing like that. And by the way, religion has nothing like that either. I mean, when you talk about Buddhism or Islam or any other thing, they don't have anything real. I have the person of Jesus Christ. He's my friend. I mean, he's my Savior. They don't have that. They have this ritual bunch of hoops. They have churches. They have things, but they don't have him. There simply is no counterpoint. I just found it curious that there's all these counterpoints of things, but they simply have no answer for Jesus Christ. They don't even pretend to. They just try to put him in a closet and put him away and hope that lost sinners never figure out that he's the key. And he's the key. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray. Father, I thank you.